Chairman Scholz?
Here.
Director Scholz? Director Hill?
Here.
Director Guerrero?
Here.
Thank you. Would you all please stand with us for the Pledge of Allegiance? Director Guerrero, would you lead us tonight?
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yes, that's as high as the chair will go. Okay. We're going to do agenda review at this point and see if any members of the board want to change the order of the agenda as presented by staff. Do any board members want to change the order of the agenda?
No.
Okay. Seeing no one, will someone make a motion to accept the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion. There's a second. There's no additional discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. I believe there should be some extra agendas on the table back there. Very good.
That is correct.
Okay, so we're going to go forward. So let's move on to public comments. This is an opportunity for any member of the community to speak on any item that is within the jurisdiction of this board but is not on this agenda. Is there anyone that would like to make public comment? Please come up.
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. The only thing I'd like to say is I thought we had gotten out of the litigation business, and obviously we haven't, because I see Mr. Trujillo is just raking in the bucks. What a shame.
Anyone else?
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I've mentioned this item before, and I've been trying to reach your legal counsel to see if we could come to some resolve. Two meetings ago, Mr. Hill and Ms. Lucy attempted to censure one another. Ms. Lucy presented a document in which she redacted the top of an email, and I requested that email. I got the same redacted copy from the district. I took it up the chain of command. I tried to, again, I've reached out to your administrator. I've made a few phone calls to your legal counsel. Neither has returned or responded. I believe that what I was given an error. And so I actually sent an email to Mayor Hill, and he alluded to a correspondence or a conversation with Mr. Huebner saying that the item doesn't exist, that there's no record of this email, and that's just simply not possible. This email, I don't know what your retentions policy is, but I sent this email to Mr. Clemens on the 1st of September, and I requested it from the district on the 21st of September. So I know of no retention policy that's any faster than 30 days. And so somewhere in the district's computers is this email that has this information on it. This banner has been cut off. So I would like that. I'm trying to make myself very clear that that is the document I'm looking for. And I would like it the request fulfilled wholly, or, again, you are dancing with the litigation business. Something else that came to my attention when your administrator gave his report last meeting, he talked about a change order. This change order was not brought to your board other than his report. And I did a public records request to see the change order, and the value of the change order is $17,000. While he had approval, I don't know if you recall, but in August, there was a change order for the same project, and at that time, he asked for you to approve the $15,000 change order, but also allow for a $35,000 contingency for that project. In my mind, just because you've allowed for this contingency fund, that doesn't mean that you just get to spend it without bringing the expenditures before the board. So this $17,000 change order should have been brought to your board, and I think it has some permit ramifications. I'm sorry to tell you that.
Thank you, Ms. Hackett.
Again, that's litigious.
May I make just a brief comment, Mr.
So
Chair?
So why don't we hold off on comments? Let's let everyone else make the comment. I'll come to you after that, okay?
Debbie Peterson, I live in Grover Beach, and I just wanted to remind you, I know not all of you have been here for very long. At one of the last meetings, we were told that there was nowhere that you could hold closed session except in this room, but I can tell you when I was on the board in 2013, we held closed session back up at the front of the building. There were a couple of places we could hold it. And so I did want to let you know that you don't have to remove the public or get rid of the public. We could actually stay here while you have closed session up in the front. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Peterson. Is there anyone else?
Patricia Price from Aurora Grandy. I missed the last meeting, or I would have said this at that time. I was upset that Mary Lucy was not reprimanded for saying the things that she said. They were not true, and I can say things aren't true that people say and they might be mistaken, but what she said were lies because she knew the difference. She's a member of this board, and she represents the board, and what she says has some weight for people who hear her. Now, I don't know how many people heard her, and I would like it put out there that this board reprimanded her for her statements that were lies. I think that that should be done. Mr. Hill made a motion to have her censored, and it was not seconded. And Mayor Schultz, I expected you to second that. I know we're... If you can't censor, at least reprimand someone when they willingly lie about this district, which is being run beautifully. We've got a wonderful superintendent. He's doing an incredible job. We have had in the past cohesiveness with the workers, with the board pretty much, and with our leaders. So I would like to see that continued. And if there is chaos in this area, I would like to see the chaos brushed away, people working together for the ratepayers. We deserve that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Price. Is there anyone else?
Good evening, Tim Brown, Aurora Grande. I want to go back to the meeting that Pat just talked about and hearken the time and place when John said, well, okay, I'm not going to support this motion, but we can rectify the record, and we will do that at some later date. And I haven't heard that rectifying of the record. It was clearly the kind of the compromise that was discussed because each side was trying to censure the other. So the compromise that I heard from Mr. Scholes was we will come back at a later date, and we will rectify the record. And I think, as Mr. Guerrero can attest, records are very important, that they're clean, that they're correct. So I would ask, again, that you follow through with that, regardless of the outcome of the censure motions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me close the public comment, bring it back to the board. Jim, you've got the floor.
I just wanted to clarify with Ms. Tacker's comment, I didn't mean to indicate that the email doesn't exist. I was endeavoring to just reinforce her request. But whether the record in fact exists or not, I have no, other than I've seen the partial hard copy.
Okay, very good. And then I do want to ask the question, maybe Mr. Guerrero, Ms. Peterson brought up that there is a conference room or some location on premises that we could use for closed session.
There,
is there, and do we have access to it?
That's two questions. Yes, the first one, there are conference rooms that we could use. When we were doing that at that time, I was board president and had keys to the building. I don't have keys any longer to the building because I'm not board president. So I didn't think of it. I could have gotten them, but I didn't think of it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you. Okay. So let's move on. We're going to move on to our consent agenda. This is where we take items that are typically routine and we consider them as a group. There are three items on consent tonight. The first is 5A, which is approval of minutes for the meeting of October 5th, 2016. The second is approval of warrants, and then the third is a financial review at September 30th, 2016. Do any board members wish to pull any items from consent?
I don't wish to pull an item. I'd wish to abstain from 5A since I was not here.
Okay, you can abstain. Okay. All right. Seeing no one pulling any items from consent, let me see if there's anyone.
Tim, yeah. I also was not present at the last meeting.
Uh-huh.
Why don't we pull 5A then?
Okay, so we will, we'll have to continue item 5A, correct? Legal counsel, we can pull that, and if one of the members wants to go watch the record, they can then come back at the next meeting?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay, very good. So we'll move forward to items 5B and C. Do any members of the community want to address any item that is on consent?
Debbie Peterson, City of Grover Beach, and I would like to agree with the member of the public who spoke during public comment at the beginning of the meeting. I'm extremely alarmed to see that we've got $18,000 in legal bills. Again, we thought we were done with that. Leadership stems from the top. I am depending on you all to look after the best interests of all of us and stop it.
Is there anyone else?
Julie Tacker, and I see that your office furniture, almost $4,000, has hit the warrant packet. That office furniture, as I understand it, is going in the trailer. Are you in the trailer? I'd like to know if your administrator has moved into the trailer. I also have heartburn over the legal bills. I have to imagine that they are related to the personnel matters, and I have to suggest that some years ago this district went through a very litigious personnel matter, including Davina Douglas, Scott Muscola, Mr. Applegate, and the tenor that has come back to the district with all new players is very reminiscent of that time. I have great heartburn and great concern over that because things were working before Mr. Huebner came to work here. Mr. Huebner has a reimbursement on the warrants. It's not a lot of money, $300, $294, for meetings. What does that mean? He's paid $12,500 a month to be your administrator, which means he goes to meetings. He received in other recent packages, board packets, two trips, a trip to Monterey, a trip to Sacramento, that exceeded $700 for hotels and airplanes and rental cars. I think, and maybe you can talk about this when you go to closed session for his performance, that perhaps you should be on the same strata because he seems to be just spending your district's money without real direction. I never heard you tell him to go to Sacramento and talk to the SRF people when he could have picked up the telephone. The behavior is indicative, and the warrant packet and the ratepayer funds that are being paid out tonight are clearly because Mr. Huebner's management style.
Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, we're going to bring it closer to the public, bring it back to the board. Further discussion, or someone prepared to make a motion?
Hearing none. All right, yep, go ahead, Mr. Hill.
This is only on items 5B and 5C.
5B and 5C, I would move approval of items 5B and 5C.
I'll second.
There's a motion, there's a second. If there's no additional discussion, Amy, let's do a roll call.
Chairman Schulz?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Very good. Motion carries. Let's move on to item number 6. This is the District Administrator and Plant Superintendent's Report. Mr. Huberman, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair Schulz, members of the audience, directors. You have my written report in front of you. I have a few highlights for you. The first one is under the Regional Board and District Settlement of the 2010 spill. Final order signed by both parties was circulated by the Regional Board on October 13th. A copy of that is included as part of your package. If you look at the final order and their comparison with the draft order, just a few minor changes. This is changes that were to accommodate some flexibility with one of the SAPs for the development of the groundwater model by the North Cities Management Group and the County of San Luis Obispo. No other comments were made based on the comments received. The next step, and we've already engaged this, is for District Council to prepare a request for dismissal to the Superior Court. That is underway. The order requires that be done within 30 days, or that the district has 30 days after the entry of that order for transmitting some our payment for penalty in the supplemental project. So we'll be watching that that deadline very closely and, of course, be meeting our obligations. Moving on page 2, under our redundancy project, we did receive on October 13th a response from the Coastal Commission staff to our September 8th submittal. That's attachment 2 in this attached to this report. We have reviewed it. We do believe it is a relatively positive response letter. The issues are becoming narrower in terms of the amount of information that they're requiring. So I've already met with our consultant team, and we are working on a response as we speak. Moving down further under the State Revolving Fund Loan Program under our redundancy project, we've, based on the board's approval of the contract with Bartle Wells and Associates, we had a kickoff conference call with them. That work is underway. Under our Satellites Recovery Grant, again, just a reminder that we hope to have a workshop in front of you on the draft report at the December 7th board meeting. Moving on to page 4, under the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project, there was a third meeting of that group was held on October 12th in the Grover Beach City Council Chambers, which included a number of updates on the collaboration structure, as well as the development of the groundwater model, the joint EIR, the potential for that, and site selection process. I was also asked to provide an update on our recycling grant study. Director Hill was also in attendance in that meeting, and he may have some other updates. Regarding, lastly, on our website overhaul continues. They're doing content migration. We do intend to bring a demonstration, or we hope to bring a demonstration to you at one of the November board meetings. So with that, conclude my report and be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, any questions of Mr. Huberman? Matt, do you have any questions?
No, thank you, sir.
Jim?
Yes, on the district control building and office item on page 3, mm-hmm. It says that we're looking for historical permitting. The Coastal Commission letter of October 12th indicated some of the items that were previously authorized, so that might be a if we haven't looked there already, that might be a place to start. Let's see.
Yes, that was we did, and that was very helpful.
On the secondary process redundancy project, since we're having some back and forth with the Coastal Commission, have we engaged Kennedy Jenks in that?
Yes.
Process.
In fact, they are. They will be updating the site plan. In fact, I saw an update of that today. We engaged staff to see if there was any other items that need to be put on the site plan in terms of future improvements, current improvements, so that we can capture them all and perhaps get them all covered under the upcoming CDP approval.
Okay. Thank you for that. The long-term rain forecast, my friend John Lindsay says it's not good, unfortunately.
I wish I could help with that.
So do I. On the website issue, it says the website overhaul continues with content mitigation, the latest effort. What is content mitigation?
Probably should say migration, not mitigation. So that's a typo. But what it is essentially the documents that we currently that reside on our website will be moved over to the new website and put in their proper place. And their challenge right now is the video stream or the board meeting videos, how to migrate that since those are very large files.
Okay, and then our records management initiative. We do have a records retention policy, I believe, but we're going to look at other jurisdictions and...
That's correct. We have one, I believe, as part of our operational manual. We're looking to see updated, compare it with other agencies. I have a few examples, and then conferring with legal in terms of updating that and then bringing it back to the board at some point.
Okay. Those are my questions, Mr. Chair.
Okay, very good. I don't have any questions at this time. So we are going to turn to the superintendent's report. Mr. Clemens, you have the floor.
Good evening, Chairman Shore, Chairman Schultz, and board. During this reporting period, or I shouldn't say reporting period, it's partial reporting period, October 1st through October 12th, our facility continues to regularly meet its permit limitations. I'd like to call your attention to the influent flow relative to October of this year and last year. We have more influent flow. And if you look at influent BOD, which is a waste measure of the waste strength of the water, you see an increased flow and you see an increased waste load coming in. And if you look at effluent, which is the amount of waste going that remains after we do our process, it's lower. So you see, relative to last year, you see an increased amount of water coming in, or increased amount of waste coming in, and you see a decreased amount of going out, which means that our staff continues to operate this plant, even though we continue to increase what we're taking in. The staff works very hard to maintain or even do better than what we did last year with regard to the efficiency with which we clean the water. Again, suspended solids. You see that the number is same as last year, but in this period, we actually, our effluent suspended solids are a lot lower than they were on average last year. Fecal coliforms, again, you see them at 5, whereas on average last year, they were 67. And so, again, this staff is really doing an excellent job of working, with a waste strength that's more difficult than it's been in a long, long time. And even with that, your staff continues to work and produce a fine quality effluent. And so I just, I'm constantly acknowledging and saying how well our staff does. And so this is just one more example. Our process is one of the older processes, and even with that, our staff continues to perform very, very well. So kudos to the staff. We've had public members come by and bring us cake and stuff like that, and that's appreciated. That's not needed, though. We're going to do our jobs anyway, but we do appreciate it. In terms of operation and maintenance, we installed a new security keypad at the front gate, replaced pumps at the storm drains within the plant, vacuumed out our storm drain sump pumps. These last two are part of our wet weather prep. Every year we prepare for wet weather. One of the things that we do is we have an internal storm drain at the plant so that whatever water is captured on the plant, it goes back to our headworks and it goes through our process as opposed to rolling off our plant into the public. And so we clean out all those processes and make sure if we get a lot of rain that we can collect all that water and run it through our process and send it to the ocean and not have it leach back out into the community. We repaired our field sump piping, which is a part of that process again, service pumps and portable generators in preparation for the rainy weather, hopefully the rainy weather, and installed an ISCO flow meter in the sewer manhole. So the thing with the ISCO flow meters is we'll be able to measure flow coming from the different agencies. We'll be able to see if we have an instance of increased flow during a rain event, because in a sanitary sewer system, which is a sewer system that's only meant to receive waste from businesses and homes, and so during a rain event, we shouldn't see an increase, a significant increase in the amount of water we take in. But if we do, we can identify where it's coming from. And so that's the purpose of that flow meter in the sewer manhole. With regard to training, staff attended a training session titled Manage for Success. This session is based on training materials from Cal State University, Sacramento. It is a training course for management specific to utilities like ours. It is constructed and distributed by Cal State Sacramento. It is something that I've required anyone with a grade level of 3 at our plant to take, because it's a preparation for a role of leadership and a supervisory role. So right now we have 4 grade 3s. They are all participating in the Manage for Success program at the plant. Staff also attended a training session on Arc Flash training. This was an internal training provided by one of our operators. With regard to call-outs, we had a call-out on October 1st at 4:30 in the afternoon. Multiple alarms due to power failure. Operator 3 Mui responded. She reset the alarms and equipment where necessary. Regular power was restored within 15 minutes. She inspected the plant. I showed up myself just to second what she was doing. So I responded also, and we inspected the plant, made sure everything was running. It was just a short-term power outage. It was a little strange because our power was restored and the power in Oceano stayed off for another hour. I'm not sure how that worked, but works for us. And there was another call out on October 11th. Our secondary sludge pump failed. That was a strange call out because our secondary sludge pump was not running at the time. Our staff is troubleshooting that to see what wires may be crossed. Operator 3 Jones did respond and reset the alarm and make sure the plant was in good working order before he left. I took the time to inform the staff of the letter that I think Ms. Tacker read at our last meeting. It was a kudos from our insurer about a whole year without reportable incidents. I think it's important for our staff to know that and recognize we're safety conscious, but when we get a kudos, I thought it was important that our staff can see the success that they've had. So I read it to them, and they were grateful and encouraged to continue to do that type of work. With that, that's the end of my report. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, John. Any questions of Mr. Clemens?
Just a couple comments. Great job on the letter from the insurer. I think that speaks well to our industrial safety programs, and good job by the staff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me open this up to the public. Is there anyone that has any questions or any comments on the administrators and superintendent's reports tonight?
Julie Tacker again, and start with the superintendent's report. And he again reports that there's training going on, but I'm not seeing Amy getting training. And I think it's important, just as important, to have your administrative staff also getting updates. You know, things are happening with payroll and PERS and insurance, and it's a regulatory climate that's always changing. So she should be as invested in as the men and women in the yard or in the field. I have interest in the October 12th letter from the Coastal Commission. First, I want to kind of give a little bit of a timeline. There was a telephone conference in August from the Coastal Commission. I think Mr. Scholes was on that. I would hope, because I thought you were going to go to Santa Cruz, and I don't believe you did. September 9th, there was the alternatives analysis that the Coastal Commission asked for, prepared by MKN, that was not part of your district administrator's staff report. It was only referenced as an attachment. I ended up getting it from the Coastal Commission because it wasn't available. I don't know if you know, but the public records requests that I request from this district take the full 10 days to get. Other cities and districts are much quicker, and the intention of the law is that you simply provide it, and this is not, you know, digging in a box 10 years back. It's available. It's new information. It should be very simple to email out. Your district administrator referred to it as an attachment in the September 21st administrator's report, and the warrant was on the October 5th packet for $11,000. When that was questioned, he, Mr. Huebner, suggested that you knew, because of the September 21st report, that the $11,000 was going to be expended, but it had already been sent to the Coastal Commission on September 9th. So that is not accurate. That timeline doesn't work in his arguments that somehow you knew they were responding and that it was going to cost you. Now, the October 12th letter clearly makes it very clear that your coastal development permit has not been accepted for processing. Last meeting, you entered into an $18,500 contract with Bartle and Wells to pursue funding for a project that you don't have a permit for, and it doesn't look like you're going to get one for some time because you're not finished answering these questions. These questions relate to the site and site alternatives analysis and what feasibility means. I think this item needs to come before your board. You need to have the conversation about whether or not to move your sewer. And that has to have an environmental, financial, full vetting before you continue down this path and spend whatever it takes to get to coastal and then be denied a permit because it is feasible to get out of the floodplain, the tsunami run-up, and the coastal retreat.
Thank you, Julie. Is there anyone else?
Debbie Peterson, Grover Beach. There was mention in this superintendent's report that there were a couple of times when call-outs were needed, and they were, I think, in the wee hours of the night. And those were the sorts of issues that were referred to last meeting's superintendent's reports, or on, well, actually it was the SCADA report, where there was a further $11,000 that had been budgeted in 2010 that was needed for a historical record. And I was really left confused at the end of that presentation because it was just to receive and file, and it had been budgeted, but I had the sense that it hadn't been approved for some reason. So I wanted to just ask and make sure if we can spend $18,000 a month on legal, could we spend, let's make sure we can spend that $10,000 to get that final information that we need to really provide the best possible service for the public and for health and safety. It just wasn't clear whether that was going to be forthcoming or not. It wasn't agendized, it wasn't voted on, and it seemed to just be left hanging despite the pleas of the superintendent. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Patty Welsh. I want to say that at the last meeting when Julie Tacker brought up about zero accidents, that's huge. Kudos to the staff. Mr. Huebner should have been the one bringing that forth. If it weren't for Ms. Tacker, I don't think you guys would have known about it. That's a big deal, and that takes a lot of work on the behalf of your staff, and you should be very thankful for it.
Is there anyone else?
Ooh, sorry. Good evening, Beatrice Spencer, Arroyo Grande. I just also, too, would like to take this opportunity to commend staff again for an excellent report. Staff has the ability to do one of two things. They can either make you guys look really good, or they can make us all look really bad. And this staff has, month after month after month, made us all look really good. Their numbers are great. The fact that you haven't had a workman's comp claim in some time is to be commended. Those things can kill you. Bottom line budget, kill you. So if I was going to rate the staff, I'd give them an A+. If I was going to rate the board, I'd give you about an F, because you are costing us with these legal fees that you've gotten back into the litigation business. Something is wrong when we're spending that much money on legal. It's a sign of a sickness somewhere. So you guys are the ones in charge. I suggest you figure it out quickly. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me close it, bring it back to the board, and this is a receive and file. Anyone have any additional questions of staff before we move on?
No.
Okay, very good. Okay, we're going to move to our action items tonight, and this is going to be item 7A. This is consideration of a resolution number 2016-358 authorizing an annual transfer to a dedicated reserve account and directing the district administrator to transfer money per the district's reserve policy. Mr. Huebner.
Thank you, Chair Schultz, directors, members of the audience, Gerhard Huebner. I'll be presenting this item. You have a written staff report in front of you. You also have the resolution as an attachment. So a little background. As you know, in June, the board approved resolution 2016-352, which approved a reserve policy. That resolution authorized the district administrator to move an amount equal to 10% of the annual cost of the district's maintenance and operations from the beginning fund balance available in operating fund 19 to a reserve fund. It also specifies certain conditions, one-time emergency, a majority of the vote, and the reserve would be reviewed annually within the budget. So those were things that were included in your approval for that resolution. So today we brought forth another resolution, 2016-358, which would authorize and direct the district administrator to make this transfer on an annual basis after calculating the amount based on the board's annual review at the conclusion of each fiscal year. So we've done that review. We've completed that review for the fiscal year. I should note that should say 15-16. I'm noting that right now on the staff report. So that's the past year. And when we did that review, 10% of the unaudited annual cost of the maintenance operation resulted in a total amount of $248,990. So today we're asking also approval to create a new budget line account to, we call it cash and county reserved, and transfer this amount from account 19-4005 to this account. So that's the resolution that you have for you for consideration today, essentially to implement the reserve policy and be able to do that on an annual basis. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Gerhard. Any questions of staff? Matt, do you have any questions?
No, my thought is just that, of course, the reporting requirement to the board for how much money is being moved across was, I think, important for transparency.
Very good. Jim?
Yes, since the resolution emphasized that the board is proceeding with significant capital projects, including a redundancy project, while I strongly agree with and support that, I don't see any nexus between the only and one-time cases of emergency, natural disaster, or unexpected event. Majority vote of the board will be required to access the reserve. I'm not sure how those one-time issues support the redundancy project and other capital projects.
I would just,
Mr. Huebner?
Just those are carryovers from the original resolution that when we created the reserve policy, there wasn't anything new that we added. So they are carryover. I think they were more to reflect that we have some big projects that were either underway or planned. But I would agree, certainly planned projects are not one-time emergency, natural disaster, expected event. So it's really a recital to kind of set up where we're at in the district in terms of some of our capital program, but then also recognizing that we wanted to have a reserve in spite of those projects moving forward, we need a reserve for disasters, for unexpected emergencies, and things of that sort.
Possibly, could we bring this back later and decouple that then from the discussion of projects? I'm not sure how, again, these and the resolution continues that language. I'm not sure how that.
Could I make a suggestion that particular with legal count just delete that whereas? It doesn't add anything specifically because you in the next whereas you have the June approval and that stands. It's a resolution that stands on its own.
So that is a possibility, and when the time comes to see if there's a motion or not, we will address whether we need to amend this resolution. I think that's a good suggestion. Jim, do you have any other questions?
That's it, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And that was going to be my question, so thank you for asking that. Let me open this up to the community, see if anyone has any comments on the item before the board.
Julie Tacker, and I think the biggest question I have is that why are we doing this with unaudited annual costs? Why wouldn't we wait till you have your audit and that you know what your numbers are? That's my biggest question.
Okay.
And then I don't like that you're setting a precedent and that you're going to give this is setting the tone for the years to come. This is simple to bring to the board every year as it comes up. And then lastly, you're going to have some money moving around, significant money moving around with relation to the fine. You have to pay that this budget cycle. So all things combined, I don't think this is necessary at this time at all. And I hope you would agree.
Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me close it to the public. Let me bring it back. And Gerhard, give a little history. I want to make sure folks understand this is a direction that the board had given because in the past it looks like we had talked about a reserve policy, but then I had not implemented it, correct?
Correct. Chairman Scholes, we had a reserve policy on the books for many years. It just never been truly implemented. Their money had not been set aside. So as board direction, as part of really part of the budget process in June, we brought this reserve policy forward because it was a desire of the board and I think staff as well that we start setting money aside for emergency purposes. And we had a debate about what the size of that reserve and at that time within the resolution it actually said that we should be moving this money, I believe it was in August. We were prepared by August to have our books closed and ready. We are now. We are proceeding with an audit, which will take some time. It will take, as audits typically do, be completed likely in January. That doesn't necessarily mean that you can't bring forth funds at this time. And I would also point out that we set aside money to pay the fine in the budget, so this reserve policy would not be affected by that action.
And also, capital projects have been budgeted with, I believe, a contingency. So this is really the emergency fund should there be an unexpected emergency.
Correct.
And we have criteria spelled out, correct?
Correct. It would, okay. And the money would come out of fund balance. So money that's already been designated for our big capital projects and other things have already been designated.
Okay, very good. So we're back to the board, and I would suggest that with the removal of this first paragraph, I think that is somewhat confusing, that if we kept the second whereas in the rest of this resolution. So would someone want to make a motion on this item?
I'll make a motion with that change.
Okay, I'll second that. If there's no additional discussion, how about a roll call?
Chairman Scholes?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Thank you. Very good. Motion carries. So we're going to move on to item 7B tonight. And what I'd like to do is I know legal counsel has laid out a format that we are going to follow in this proceeding. And what we're going to do first is I'm going to open this up for for public comment, anyone who wants to comment. Then we will have a staff report by the district administrator. We will then receive evidence from the two individuals or their representative on these grievances, and I do want to allow them sufficient time to present the information. After that, we will close the hearing. The board will be able to ask any questions of staff or the grievance, and the board then will retire to closed session to deliberate. And once a decision is made, we will return to open session. So, legal counsel.
May I ask just a point of order?
Yes.
Is this something that should be, other than the public comment item, something that should be in closed session in its entirety? Could I ask legal counsel's opinion on that?
Did you get the question, legal counsel?
Yes, good evening.
Okay.
It is true that some jurisdictions do hold their grievances in closed session. Some jurisdictions have their grievances in open session. It's all guided by the policies that the jurisdiction has adopted. We have followed your policy that has been adopted by the district. There are some ambiguities in it. It's not, in my opinion, the most comprehensive written document. But in implementing it, it does appear that it's meant to be held in open session. There's no indication in there that it is a closed session item, and that is why we are recommending that it proceed in open session for the presentation of the staff report. There are some personnel issues involved in it, and balancing those interests with the what the grievance process details, we believe that you can hold a closed session. The question is the entire matter held in open session, or can we adjourn to closed session to discuss a possible public employee appointment? And we believe that there is authority for that. We're comfortable in having this hybrid process, and I'll be happy to answer any additional questions.
Jim? Okay. So this is a policy that was established many years ago that we are trying to do the best to make sure that we give those who are filing a grievance every opportunity to present information and include. It seems like there has been a decision made to bring portion of this into open session, correct?
Correct. That issue has been carefully looked at by legal counsel, and that is our conclusion.
Okay. Matt, you have any questions?
No, I just wanted to confirm, reading through this, that our duty is to make a determination whether a district's policy has been violated rather than substituting our judgment for that of the district administrator. Am I understanding the issue correctly?
Yes, that is correct. There, with the grievance, under your personnel policy manual, you are to identify where the interpretation by the district administrator is in conflict, if any, with your written policies.
Okay. And then take appropriate action if needed.
Would correct.
Be correct. Okay.
Okay. So we are at the point where we are going to take, I'm going to take public comment. We'll give everyone 3 minutes. Please come forward.
I apologize to Mr. Arias and Mr. Jones for having to air their grievances in a public setting. I appreciate all that you and your fellow employees did during the time we were looking for a new GM. You kept this plant running smoothly. You stepped up, you got cross-trained, and you did what needed to be done. Kudos to you. I know these men don't want to be here in a public setting airing their grievances. This is an internal problem and should be handled as such. There are standard operating procedures that are board approved, and there is a definition of a grade 3 operator. I believe it was Elisa who helped write the definition. So why are we here discussing this? Mr. Huebner seems to be punishing the operators, and I really can't figure out why. The district eliminated a senior maintenance division to save money. So we now have one position instead of two, and we're saving approximately $25,000 a year. We are talking about an increase of $100 a month, and this district has spent $10,000 so far that we could have paid these two employees for the next 10 years. Instead, we're paying an attorney. To have employees discussing unionizing means that they have been backed into a corner and seen no way out. This was not occurring before Mr. Huebner came to this district. It appears from the outside looking in, Mr. Huebner has no relationship with the employees, and it appears he lacks the leadership skills for things to get done to get this far this fast. There seems to be a deviation from how well this staff was working together after Mr. Wallace left to now. If this does not get worked out, where do you think we're going to be when we have to find replacements? Do you think anybody in this area is going to want to come to work for this plant? And how much money do you think we're going to have to pay them to get them to come here? What happens if both of these guys and Mr. Clemens leave the plant and you figure out Mr. Huebner is not a good fit? These are the gentlemen who stepped up and kept it running during the period of change, and this is how we treat them. You will then go to closed session, but you made them air their grievances publicly. I think we have a problem, and I don't think it's with the staff. I think it's with Mr. Huebner. Thank you.
Good evening, Tim Brown, Roy Grande. I don't know the merits or lack of merits to the grievances, and I don't want to speak to that. I just would tell you that it's a huge red flag that you have any part of this out in public. And so I would pose this question. Your legal counsel has said this is the current policy. It would seem to me the best advice would be this policy has some pitfalls, possible pitfalls, and maybe there's a better way to handle it. Maybe there's a better way to handle it. And his advice, in my view, could have been, here's a better way to handle it. I would strongly suggest that all the parties involved with this matter take a 5-minute breather and really decide whether they want to do this in public record. Because if this ever goes to litigation, this is just going to be another piece of the puzzle that makes it difficult for both sides. It's a lose-lose, if you ask me. So I don't know if the gentleman involved wanted it public. I don't know if counselor believed it should be public. But this goes against everything I've ever seen. And even if it is the current district policy, does that mean we should follow it if it's in poor judgment? I don't think so. I think you guys are charged with making good, sound judgment calls. And I think anytime we can keep dirty laundry from being out in public, it's better for the individuals involved and it's better for the district.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Is there anyone else?
Good evening, Beatrice Spencer again, Arroyo Grande ratepayer. I too have an issue with having employees come before the public that's sitting here tonight and who will watch this video from now until whenever. This just isn't the way to handle these things. These things need to be dealt with. If you have a problem in your classroom, you don't run to the superintendent. You go to the teacher first, you talk to the teacher, then you go to the principal. There's a level, a chain of command. And this just seems like you're short-circuiting the whole process of what would normally take place in a business situation. I feel for these gentlemen back here. I don't know either one of them personally, but I think there's a problem with this process. And before you step in it, I think you really need to wonder if this is in the best interest of your board, the public, and these gentlemen who work for you every day. Please reconsider. Give them an opportunity to deal with this matter privately. And then there's always another alternative past that. But once you do this, you've committed to this being in public for perpetuity.
Anyone else?
My name is Ron Arnoldson. I totally agree with the last three speakers. I've been a manager for the state of California in a department for 5 years. I can't even imagine doing HR this way. Just doesn't even make sense to me. And I talked to our HR people today, and they said it's pretty much would never happen there. And the other thing I'd like to remind you is that Mr. Scholz didn't want to air any laundry, dirty laundry, when it came to the people sitting up there. But now we've got public employees. It's okay to air dirty laundry, isn't it?
Julie Tacker and I concur that doing this in public is highly unusual. And legal counsel said there were ambiguities in the policy. Why wouldn't you simply ask the employees how they would like this to go? I don't know if that was done. This is playing out on the big screen. You know, you didn't have PowerPoints before Mr. Huebner, unless it came from a consultant, to air the grievance, not only on television, but to put it on a big screen, I think is showmanship. And it's in their face, and it's unfortunate. Not knowing how you're going to go, I want to talk to the merits of the grievances really quick. And what I want to say is that your board, on November 18th, 2015, so just under a year ago, had a status report of the personnel policy manual update. At that time, from 2014, the following personnel policy manual sections have been created or updated. Table of contents, vacation, administrative leave, cell phone policy, debit card, job descriptions, district administrator's job description, plant superintendent job description. Job descriptions included the grade three operator's position. When I read the grievance, it sounds like the district is saying, we don't have a job description. So you did have a job description as of a year ago. Then, when we get into the stipend and the squabble over that, on January 20th, your board, and it was the makeup was the same as you are tonight, these three gentlemen, voted unanimously to pass. In the past year, several operators attained a grade three certification, including the lab tech operator, while a full-time operator, operator two, are receiving the 2.5% stipend. The incumbent lab tech operator is not. You adjust the fiscal consideration was adjusting their COLA at the time, the 2.5% stipend. You all adopted this. This Julie. Is what you put in place, and this is what these gentlemen were counting on as a matter of course. This is their historical perspective.
I need to wrap up, Julie.
I will wrap up, okay. But I would ask that before you proceed in any kind of hearing, you vet first whether or not this is closed session. And
Julie,
tiny bit,
I've
John,
given you extra
this is
time.
Really important because...
I've given you extra time. I've given everybody
because
else
Because you don't have a
time.
Government code in which to go to
okay.
closed session to appoint any employee.
Okay, very good.
Ron Holt, Royal Grandy. I read most of the stuff in the... agenda, the packet regarding this, and skimmed it all. And it seemed to me as a summary that it was justifying, most of it was trying to justify why not to give these gentlemen a raise or a positioning improvement. And I understand that the paperwork, the process is lacking. But does that mean that just because you could use that as a reason not to do this, that you need to do that? I think that this is something where there's not anything prohibiting that I can see
giving these gentlemen what they need or what they are requesting and getting their raises, their position improvements through, if there's some reason that is not obvious there, I would like to hear it, but if there isn't, I think it would be a good idea to just bypass this process and just go ahead and do what's necessary and what's right. Thank you.
Concerns about smells have been high on the agenda for the last few meetings, and this one does not pass the smell test. On the one hand, we hear that you don't have rules in place that govern this. On the other hand, the employees are told that they didn't list what rules they're going by. What I read was so complex, I couldn't figure it out. I think it's extremely unfair to expect employees to try to figure out something that seasoned company directors can't figure out. And when it's too difficult to understand, then it's time to look at revising it. We've been working on this since 2013, so something's wrong here. It just should not be this complicated. It's way too complex. I think that, I've seen in business a practice where the new guy comes in and he gets rid of all the old guys because he wants his people in. And he does it by sickening them out. And sadly, that's what this looks like. I don't know if it's what it is, but it's what it looks like. It looks to me like a public form of intimidation. You've got these guys here, they're being put on the spot. Now, anybody who dares ask a question at that plant knows they have to be on TV in public view if they want to make a complaint of any kind. I'm thinking there's no reason that this should ever have gone any further than the superintendent. This shouldn't be brought to the board. It's not your job to have to figure out things like this. This is something that a good administrator, a good superintendent take care of. It's not something that you guys get messed up with or we get messed up with. And I have to tell you, from having sat on the board in 2013, what these gentlemen are saying is the practice is exactly how I understood the practice to be, that they go for further training, they're encouraged to get further training. Once they get that further training, then they are promoted to a position commensurate with that training as it becomes available. And so this, what's happening with these gentlemen, what their expectation is precisely what I would have expected to have happen for them as a director.
Is there anyone else?
Good evening. I'm Mark McKibben from Aurora Grande. I'm a 20-year HR professional. About half of that time has been in the public sector. I strongly agree with the comments that I made before that grievances such as this should not be done in a public setting. I would expect that the management group would come together and address the issues and be able to resolve it behind closed doors, so to speak. It's obvious that through the materials I've seen, you do not have a sufficient policy to direct how recruitments or promotional recruitments would be handled. Past practice is something that cannot be relied upon by any party, as it seems to be inconsistent, so it's tough to establish that. I recognize the administrators and your board has the right to organize the department as you see fit. That is your responsibility and your responsibility. However, I find it quite curious that after one of the most successful interim department administrators that you've had, based upon his recommendations, a new administrator comes in, and rather than rely upon the expertise of his predecessor, he finds reason not to consider these two people for promotion. As I understand, they may be the only two people that are actually qualified for the position. Again, they're not guaranteed a promotion. It's based upon your needs as an organization. But I think you should strongly consider the recommendations that were made in the report.
Thank you, Mr. McKibben. Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me close this to the public and bring it back to the board.
Mr. Chair, if I might,
yes.
I'm persuaded by the comments of Mr. Brown in the last commenter, and I would urge in the strongest terms that we consider this matter in closed session. I think it's probably appropriate that the board is the final arbiter of issues of this nature, but absent a direct request by the employees to have this in open session, it seems to me that it's appropriate to have it in closed session.
Well, Jim, and I would agree with that, and let me say, for those of you who are here, those who have seen me over the years, I try to be fair to everyone. Trust me, we do not want to be here dealing with this issue, because I would never have to deal with this in my city. So the fact that we have a bad policy, as Mr. McKibben said, has led us to this. So I just want the audience to understand that we are not doing this with any glee up here at all. But I would like to have staff maybe not do a total presentation, but there has been a policy followed, and I want to make sure that the question, Jim, you had said is, did the employees ask to have this in open session? I think we need to clear up some of the information or some of the comments that have been made. So I don't know if that's something for Mr. Huebner or for legal counsel.
Your microphone's off. There you go.
Thank you. All right. Well, my recommendation stands as in the staff report. We are guided by what the rules say in our personal policy. If you read it, there's no authorization or indication that it should be held in closed session. As I said, other jurisdictions do have these in open session. Some jurisdictions do have the grievance stop at the district administrator or city manager level, and it never gets to a public board. Your grievance, your policy says that it goes to the board, and it does not say it goes to the board in closed session. That is very clear from the policy. So you're going to be discussing some policy decisions tonight, which are outlined in the staff report, and there is no authority in the Brown Act to hold a closed session to discuss on these policy, to have a discussion on these policy issues. There is authority that's cited in the staff report that you do have the authority to discuss public employment appointment. And that is how we are getting this into the deliberation section into closed session. Otherwise, your deliberations would be in open session. If you were to direct us to hold a closed session, it'd be against my advice. And then some of the issues you'd have to resolve is, how do you receive evidence and testimony from the grievance? Because the only people allowed in closed session is the board and their legal counsel and other people that need to be there as necessary, but not to hear evidence or testimony. And I've never seen testimony given in a closed session by an employee concerning anything similar to this matter. So I hope I answered your questions. Be glad to address any additional questions.
So I guess I'm just kind of curious as to if the grievance had been informed of this, and were they, I guess you're saying the policy does not give them the option, it's just the policy that says it needs to come to the board. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is correct. There may be some confusion regarding the Brown Act, because there are provisions when it deals with public employee discipline that gives the employee the right to choose whether or not to hold the hearing in open session or closed session, but that is under the discipline sections of the Brown Act, not under, there is no grievance section under the Brown Act.
Okay. Anything else, Jim or Matt?
No, I share the concern about having it in open session for these gentlemen that are involved. I haven't done any legal analysis. I'm just accepting at face value. I'm just accepting at face value legal counsel's word on this. So I would actually ask, make an inquiry of whether or not Mr. Jones and Mr. Arias had requested open or closed session, because I think that may be persuasive. Maybe not binding, but might be persuasive, and they may want to answer that themselves.
I didn't receive that request.
Okay, hold on one meeting, please. We need his attention, John. Matt, ask your question again, please.
I'm sorry, I was distracted.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
My apologies. Can you repeat the question?
I don't know if the gentleman involved here asked for open or closed session. I don't know if it was ever requested or they were ever asked. If we could reconsider and have it in closed session for their privacy.
They were not asked. They did not ask, and the opportunity was not given to them based on our interpretation of the personnel policy manual. So there is no authority to hold a closed session to discuss a grievance. That does not exist.
Do we know if this district has ever heard a grievance? It hasn't in my knowledge, but what the process was done at that time?
I did ask the question, and based on all the new players here, no one, going back at least 3 years, has ever had to implement this section of the personnel policy manual.
Possibly we should limit our discussion to just the policy. What is the citation of 54957, paren B, paren 1?
That is the public employee appointment authorization in the Brown Act.
Okay.
I mean, the question for the board is, did Mr. Huebner violate any district policies in reaching the decision that he did?
Okay. Is there a time limit, a time frame to which we need to, obviously, to be fair, we do want to take action on these grievances, so I'm just wondering if there's any value in continuing this, or if we, I think we need to probably at least receive a staff report. I know there were some questions and some statements made during public comment that I think if there is the benefit of a staff report, some of those may be answered.
Certainly I can provide, I can proceed and do that staff report, and I, there likely will be some clarification through that. As it's been pointed out, I just from my own perspective, I've never had to have this kind of personnel action or this process as well, and I've worked for county and state governments. Nevertheless, this is there was no other option, and we did explore at length whether we could avoid this, but our policies were clear, and we felt we needed to follow that at legal opinion, and there was no other option to provide. So I just want to, for my own personal, so the audience members understand that, there was no pleasure in moving forth in this manner, but we felt compelled because of the rules.
Okay. So, Mr. Trujillo, I understand it's policy, but if this board took the action to do this in closed session, I know you had talked about the issue of Brown Act. I do want to make sure that the two gentlemen who have filed the grievance, that we have gone through a due diligence process. So I think you can sense we are somewhat perplexed that we have this policy on the books and want to know if there is a way we can move this to closed session. If the two grievance have provided something in writing that could be considered in a private session, in a closed session, I should say.
Yes, the grievance have, my understanding, has submitted some documentation tonight. I have not had a chance to review it. I'd ask for the opportunity to review it.
Okay.
That would be able to go into closed session and be deliberated upon by the board.
Okay. So why don't we do this? Let's take a 10-minute break. Let's give legal counsel an opportunity to review the documents that have been submitted, and then we'll come back and have further discussion. district board meeting. And I want to thank everyone for coming forward and making their comments. And as I said, I can assure you that the members on this board would prefer not to be up here hearing a sensitive personal matter. So with that, based on some new information provided by the employees, which includes sensitive personnel information, information that is so sensitive it should not be discussed in public, I would like to recommend that we hold a closed hearing on each of the grievances with their concurrence. And so really, I want to know, see if the board members are okay with that, and then we will want to ask the grievance if they are okay with us moving forward in a closed hearing so that we do not have to discuss this in an open session. And I would say this is contrary to, and I'm putting this on the record, to advice from legal counsel, because we are trying to seek the fair process. And we understand the sensitivities of personnel information. So, board members, are you in agreement with this? If the grievance, if the two gentlemen are in agreement with that process?
I am. I was waiting for you, Mr.
I tend to agree with that under the appointments section of the Brown Act. I think that probably envelops the information we're discussing tonight, so I think we need some legal basis for doing that.
So he's saying we need some legal basis for doing that. Gil? I'm sorry. Let me go to Matt first. Matt?
No, I agree. As long as we're not violating the law, that's my concern. But if we are hearing private, confidential personnel information, I think that the expectation would be that that is heard outside of the public. Whether this be all right, let's try this again. Whether this be information about Mr. Huebner or whether this be information about any other employee, I think that we should do our best to protect those privacy interests.
Okay. So I think what I will do is ask Mr. Arias and Mr. Jones to come forward. And what it means when we talk about a closed hearing, that means we are going to ask everyone to leave with the exception of the grievance. So, and we will do one, not both together, one at a time. And they'll be able to at least provide evidence and information that we'll consider as we go into closed session. But this, and we will ask AGP and all the cameras be removed and the recordings be
turned off.
Turned off.
Right.
Okay. So, Mr. Arias, would you like to come forward? We do need to have your concurrence to do this in a closed hearing rather than an open hearing.
I concur, and that would be acceptable to me.
Very good. Mr. Jones?
I also concur. Excuse me.
Thank you, sir. Okay. So seeing that we have the concurrence of both individuals, hopefully the board is comfortable moving in this direction. I think with that, I would ask that we asked everyone, we're going to have to clear the room because we don't have another location because there are no keys, and that we would hear Mr. Arias first. But, Michael, let's let everyone clear the facility, okay? And we're going to turn off the mics. Okay, so we have, we're going to convene open session again, and we do still have some closed session items to consider tonight. So I'm going to turn this over to legal counsel so he can go over the closed session items that we have.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the board has concluded the closed hearing on item 7B and is ready to go into closed session to discuss and deliberate on item 7B. However, we also have two other closed session announcements to make, and the public should be given the opportunity to make public comments on those two closed session items. So with that, I will make the announcement. The board will adjourn to closed session to discuss public employee appointment, Title Operator 3, to discuss employee performance evaluation, Title District Administrator, and conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any members of the community that would like to comment on the closed session items?
I'm Julie Tacker, and I think it's important that you go into closed session with Mr. Huebner's contract in your hand. So I brought you copies. Item 2.6 in the contract, the employee, that would be Huebner, agrees to make sufficient time available to each member of the district board of directors each week to provide an opportunity to be briefed on district issues. I would have to ask if each one of you or your proxy meets with, converses with Mr. Huebner once a week. Have you all since he's been here 6 months? Then the section B, left my glasses, hours of work. When I call, he's not on the property. So yes, he can work remotely, but I have a concern about him actually working at the district. B2 says, it is recognized the employee must devote a great deal of time to the business of the district outside of the district's customary office hours, and that to that end, the employee's schedule of work each day and each week shall vary in accordance with the work required to be performed. The employee shall spend sufficient hours on site to perform the district administrator's duties. However, the employee has the discretion over the employee's work schedule and work location. I would ask, because it's hard to catch him on site, that you maybe set some parameters and that you ask him to be there a certain amount of hours. Item D1, the strategic workshops, as soon as practicable after the employee's start date. Remember, this is 6 months ago. The district board of directors and the employee will meet to review the district's existing strategic plan and or set out goals and priorities for the employees to implement prior to the employee's annual performance evaluation or such other dates as determined in the course of the meeting. Have you had that meeting? It wasn't a public meeting.
Julie, I need you to...
Excuse me?
I was just telling you, it's 3 minutes. Did you need to wrap up?
Okay. If
you
could? And then just to point out, all three of these things that are on this closed session are because of him. Not... You wouldn't have had this if you'd gone a different direction with administrator.
Thank you. Anyone else?
This plant finally started to move in a forward direction after getting rid of Mr. Wallace. But it appears we are going backwards, and all of this in about a 6 month period. So what has been happening? We went from having external problems to having internal problems. Gearhart is talking to old employees about how many operators the plant should have. The old employees were the ones running it into the ground. We gave Gubner a car allowance, and then he rents a car to go to Monterey, and he flies to Sacramento for meetings. I don't understand this. If he's got a car allowance, why are we spending extra above and beyond that? Mr. Gearhart goes and gets a trailer without the permission of the board, and now we have to have Coastal Commission okay it and pay those fees as well as get new furniture in there. Whose money is he spending? It sure as heck isn't his. We have a GM who wants to be separate from the workers and does not seem to have a good working relationship with them or his plant supervisor. And to top it all off, Mr. Hubner does not want to follow standard operating procedures which were approved. We have staff that is looking to unionize. That means they have no other avenue and have been backed into a corner. So what happens if both John Clemens and both Mikes leave, and then you realize Mr. Hubner is not going to work out? Mr. Clemens and this crew pulled us through some tough times, and now we have a GM that is causing divisiveness between staff and this board. How did Mary Lucy get that email that was in John Clemens' email box? Was that Mr. Hubner at work? Mr. Hubner does not even write his own staff reports. He just does the presentation. So what exactly does Mr. Hubner do for $12,500 a month that we pay him? What has Mr. Hubner really done for the plant in the last 6 months? Are we any better for hiring him? Where are our legal bills going other than straight up once again? What I see in Mr. Hubner is a lack of maturity and lack of leadership. And that is not helping run this plant. In fact, it is doing the exact opposite.
Is there anyone else?
Good evening, Beatrice Spencer. I just wanted to say that as the board, you gentlemen are the leaders of this district. And sometimes being a leader means you have to admit if you've made a mistake or a bad selection. You watch the morale of the staff. The body language from out here in the audience is very telling. Something's really wrong. When Mr. Clemens was filling in, pinch hitting for us during a time that we were looking for a new administrator, there was a very different sense of how things were going. It was upbeat. He was positive. The staff reports were great. Everything was good. What has happened in 6 months? We're back to this adversarial spot that we were before, and it doesn't need to be. There's something wrong. And the only thing that's changed is the addition of Mr. Hubner. You have all the rest of the same people, maybe with the exception of legal attorneys. But he is part of your problem. And there's no doubt that we wouldn't have been here, we wouldn't be where we are tonight if everything was going well. So you need to look at what you can do to make things better, because I'm not sure that he's making things better. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward. Oops, okay.
I find it completely unacceptable that we're here tonight, that this is happening in this district. It was a very simple decision that wasn't made in what I consider an appropriate way. These men should have been promoted and rewarded for the good work that they were doing. I don't know why Mr. Hubner had a problem with that, but he did, and this is where we are. It's unacceptable that our administrator cannot deal with his staff and keep us out of litigation. We're going backwards, and I don't like it. I've been sitting here for 3 years now, and this is not a good trend we're in. I really ask you to think about doing something about it. This isn't working.
Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close this to the public, and we are going to go into closed session. We're going to reconvene into open. We're going to reconvene in open session, and at this point, I'm going to turn it over to legal counsel to report out on closed session.
Thank you, Chairman Scholes. The board held three closed sessions. Conference with legal counsel anticipated litigation. There is no reportable action. Employee performance evaluation, title district administrator, there is no reportable action. And finally, public employee appointment, title operator three, this was the resolution of the grievance. By unanimous vote, the board adopted resolutions denying the grievances filed by Mr. Jones and Mr. Arias and directed staff to update the personnel policy manual within 6 months, including a review of the job descriptions. and upon adoption by the board that a competitive promotional process be implemented to fill the Operator 3 positions currently authorized by the board. So I will make that change to the resolution, and it will be available for distribution to the employees and the public as a written record of the decision of the board.
Thank you, Mr. Trujillo. And I also wanted to add a few comments. First, let me just say we value all the employees who work and serve this district. The board was unanimous in that the district administrator has the authority to approve or deny recommendations, and that there are no guarantees, and that he is acting in the capacity that he was hired to. The other part we wanted to mention is that when we talk about following past bad practices, it is not advisable or acceptable, and I think we, if we had learned nothing from the Knutson report, is that we not do that. It also was not explained earlier that all operators are being compensated commensurate with performance and certifications. They have gotten pay increases, so I want to make sure that people are aware of that. And it is pretty clear that the Operator 3 job description is not sufficient and needs to be updated. And I believe Mr. McKibben had talked about earlier that the grievance policy that we have in place is not sufficient. And so that is some of the additional information as to why there was a direction to update that manual within 6 months, that we certainly want to go by the philosophy that this board has in the past and today. I think we do believe in promoting from within, but it should be a competitive process so that all employees who are qualified have the opportunity to compete. And we hope that you all would agree with that. And so I think with that, unless any of the other board members have any comments, Jim, do you have anything?
No, just that we specifically wanted to see the Operator 3 job title revised, because it was adequate when we had one grade 3 operator, but it's no longer adequate for our needs at this point.
Gil? Not Gil, but
it's all right.
What's your name, Matt?
Yeah. I'm rarely here. I would like to thank everybody and echo those comments by my fellow board members. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. And with that, we are adjourned.